So today's Gospel reading is a familiar reading for the first Sunday of Lent. It describes a powerful battle with the devil trying to assume power over Jesus' physical state. But Jesus stands firm, we read, and wins the day. Now, we might think, well, of course Jesus won the day. Of course he did. He's Jesus. He's without sin. Well, yeah, that's true. But what we have to remember is that at this point, Jesus was fully human. He felt everything that we feel. He could have easily gone for the quick fix, the instant gratification offered. He was physically weak and hungry. And along comes the devil, who knows our weaknesses, and like a bully, preys on them. He knows Jesus is hungry, so that's where he strikes. If you're the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. When Jesus resists, the devil moves on to Jesus' messiahship. After all, someday the Messiah would rule the whole world and possess all authority and splendour. So why wait? Why not have it all now? Surely that makes sense and would be the easiest option. When that fails, the devil tries, if you like, to beat Jesus at his own game, because Jesus had rebuffed the previous two temptations with scripture. So the devil now tries to use scripture as a weapon. He recites verse 11 to 12 from Psalm 91. He recites this to almost try and fool Jesus into action. You see, the devil is devious and sly and will keep niggling away one temptation after another. And when we are at a low ebb, when we're weak, these quick fixes might seem to make sense, to make life better for us or easier for us. So Jesus is fully human, but we're told he's full of the Holy Spirit, and he draws on the Spirit for strength, and he recites scripture each time he is tempted. All three temptations are rebuffed by verses from Deuteronomy. This is the fifth book of the Old Testament and the last book of the Jewish Torah. And Deuteronomy literally means second law. It's from the Greek deuteros and nomos. And it's not so much the giving of a second separate law, but through an epic speech given by Moses to the Israelites on the edge of the promised land all those thousands of years ago. It's more the reinstatement of earlier commandments. The commandments given to the Israelites during their 40 previous years of wandering in the desert. So perhaps it's not surprising that Jesus draws on passages from this book. You see, the parallels with Jesus' experience of temptation for 40 days and nights in the wilderness and Israel's 40 years of wandering in the desert are striking. But whilst Jesus was being tempted by the devil, the Israelites were being tested by God. And one example is in Exodus 16. You might know it. It's where we read that only 1 month after being led out of Egypt, the Israelites are complaining about their hunger. They've already had enough. They already feel like giving up. So God rained manna and quails from heaven. But this was with clear instructions. The instructions were not to keep food overnight and to collect double the amount on the sixth day, so on the Sabbath they could rest. God did this to see if they trusted him. He said, "Don't worry, I'll give you what you need day by day. Each day you'll have what you need. So don't keep it overnight. The next day you'll have more. And on the sixth day, collect double so you have enough for the Sabbath day." He did this to see see if they trusted that he would provide for their needs day by day and to see if they would obey him. But of course they didn't. Some stored up food overnight and in the morning it was full of maggots. Some ate everything on the sixth day and they went running out on the Sabbath to find there was no food there. So this kind of testing of the Israelites to God, God to the Israelites, this actually continued for pretty much the next 39 years and 11 months until at last the Israelites find themselves at the edge of Canaan, the promised land. And this is where Deuteronomy picks up with Moses. Just imagine it, on the edge of the promised land, thousands of Israelites all around, they've been wandering for 40 years, they're finally there at the edge of the promised land, about to go in. And Moses is there just urging them to be faithful. He's urging them, saying, come on, you know, just listen to God, love God. So he goes over the last 40 years and reinstates the commandments given. Now, in contrast, Jesus, through his temptation, proved to God that his heart is not divided. His response demonstrated that he is dependent on God and he is obedient to his word. So we've got two examples of how to carry on in the face of adversity. On one end of the scale, the Israelites, who demonstrate the how not to do it. And on the other end, we have Jesus showing us how to do it. And I'm guessing that all of us would, in times of trial and testing, want to follow Jesus. We would want to follow his example. But how can we? Is it really that simple? Is it that easy? Well, it might help if we take a look at why the Israelites found it so hard. Throughout their wandering for the 40 years in the desert, God tried again and again to guide the Israelites and to instruct them so that they could come to know him and to trust him. But they still continually turned to idols. Now, we have to remember that, according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 40, that the Israelites had been in Egypt for 430 years. So in all that time, generations and generations and generations of Israelites would have been exposed to the ancient Egyptian culture of idolatry. And now, in their times of tribulation, they did not trust God fully, but instead, they kind of hedged their bets, if you like. So they worshipped God, but they also added devotions to idols. And even at one point we read in Exodus that they made their own golden calf to worship. So this was kind of an ingrained default position for them. Their past experience, yes, they've got God, but their past experience led them to these idol worship for their comfort. Now, we don't know a huge amount about Jesus' upbringing, but we do know that his parents were devout Jews and that they went to Jerusalem every year for the Passover. We know that when he was 12, Jesus got lost at the end of the Passover festival and his parents found him in the temple with the teachers. He was listening and asking questions. And all the teachers were amazed at his understanding. So Jesus' culture and life experience meant that during his temptation in the wilderness, he turned to God fully because he knew him and he trusted him. So it would seem that whatever is put in place to offer peace and comfort and fulfillment throughout everyday life will, in times of adversity, be the go-to default position. So whatever we make our master day to day will, during hard times, be our master. And in hard times, we will most likely lean on those things or turn to those things more than we usually do. Jesus says, Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But do we have the faith to turn to him fully? Or do we turn to the world for quick fixes and instant gratification? When things go wrong, do we cry out to God in prayer? Or do we maybe splash out on the credit card, book a holiday, overindulge on food and drink? These things might not be golden calves, but they are modern day idols, and there are many, many more which the devil tempts us with to divert our attention from God. Now, of course, it's fine to enjoy the things in this world. Yes, it's fine to go on holiday. Yes, it's fine to enjoy a nice meal, go shopping, have the odd glass of wine. These things are fine, but it's more about what in our life do we strive for? What's our priority? What is our heart's desire? What do we desire? Like Jesus, our hearts should not be divided. We can only serve one master. So if in our life we strive for all these other things day by day, our heart is divided. If at the centre of our lives we focus on Jesus and make our worship of God a priority, and we strive to strengthen our relationship with God, and in this world where it's hard, we are surrounded by idols, just as the Israelites were. But if we strive to make God our idol, to develop and deepen our relationship with him day by day through prayer and through reading and reflecting on the Bible, if we can do that, then when the hard times come, when temptation comes our way, our default position will be to seek God and to trust in him. And then ultimately, we will find fulfillment. Let's pray. I'll just read from the words of Richard, the Bishop of Chichester. O dear Lord, three things I pray. To see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly day by day. Amen.